Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please? In your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter, I'm going to pick up with verse 22 of chapter 2 and read on through verse 14 or 15 of chapter 3. It's a good section, a longer section, but we want to see this all in its intended purpose. As Paul writes to this young pastor who's been commissioned by Paul, and especially by the Lord, to straighten things out in the church in Ephesus. Paul writes in verse 22 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the days ahead. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, who are, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings, the kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." Join me in prayer. Father, this is your most holy word, and we know it. And we know the Spirit guided the hands of each person who you chose to contribute to our understanding of you and your will. Thanks for the Spirit who is in us. Lord, may our hearts come alive. And as we just consider some of the things that we've just read, I pray, Father, that we would each one be rejoicing in you, listening. So teach us to listen, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul wrote, I read this last week from the Message, don't be naive. Don't be naive. Don't believe all that you hear. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. The kind of people he was talking about, and he was talking about the things that Timothy was actually facing. These were days to be expected. And these people who are self-absorbed, they have a compromising agenda for you, you as families, you as a church. They have this compromising agenda. And you're to have nothing to do with those people who are bringing this compromised agenda to the church that has been established by Christ, and the Holy Spirit is with you. What were your expectations, I wonder, when you came to Christ, when you began a new life in Christ? Were you expecting that God would want you to grow? Did you look at it like I just punched my ticket for heaven? Or did he want you to grow? And what's that growth been like as you've lived, maybe year after year? If you've gone from being a young person, knowing Christ when you were a teen, like I was at 13, when I said, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, I had no idea the kind of things I would want to be in control of. I'd be in charge. I'd make all the decisions. I probably sang many times, I surrender all, but I had maybe a little bit of a narrow window of what that was like. Well, growing in Christ just involves a lot of wonderful things. And the Apostle Paul knew that this was in store for this church that he had founded in Ephesus. And he really cared about them. And as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that church, Paul gathered the elders. We see this in Acts chapter 20. He gathered the elders and he said, tough days are coming ahead. Fierce wolves are going to try to tear you apart. Matter of fact, he warned them, don't be one of them. Don't be one of them with a compromised agenda that will turn people away from the power of the gospel and make people feel like they were in charge of everything themselves. These are people who will, in the church, have the appearance of godliness on the outside. But he said, by their very lives, they haven't been changed. And by their lives, they are denying the power of the gospel that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1. It is the power of God, this gospel, unto salvation. In the text that we're looking at today, verses 10 through 14 or 15, Paul has these statements to make, and you followed carefully, verse 10. But you need to expect persecutions. Always, don't be naive, expect persecutions. And carry on. I'd like us to focus on some of these elements. Let's look at verse 10 again. You, however, and he's been talking about these people, these who have a form of godliness, verse 5 of chapter 3. These people have a form of godliness. Like, they can sing the songs just like that. They can quote the scripture like that. They can join in with you. They can nod. Yeah, yeah. But their very lives betray them. There's no change. They are all those things in verses 2 through 4. And there's a lot of words jammed in there. But then he shifts in verse 10. And he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching." Now there's nine words that are going to follow. You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. But he says, and we need to be just understand this little word that he puts in there. It's a little word, my. Two letters in English. It was three letters in Greek. You know all about my. And then he lists these nine things. But before that, he precedes it with this. You, however, you know this. You know this very, very well. You have listened very carefully. And that's why these nine things that I'm listing right now, the notion, and I think you might even see, if you're using the New American Standard, you might see a marginal effort on this word. You know this, and you've listened very carefully. What he's talking about in all of these verses, he's talking about what we refer to as discipleship. You know this because you have been following me very, very closely. I'm trying to, I hope we can all get this. Who, how does that fit with you? Since you gave your life to Christ, who have you been following very closely? We're talking about, the expression is, you've been walking alongside of me. You've been interacting with me. You've been walking along and you've just had a host of questions. And you ask these questions and I ask questions of you. Sometimes we drill on, now remember, they didn't have a nice little Bible. I mean, how many do you have at home? Maybe you've got one in your car. Maybe you've got two or three in your car. Something for all occasions. I've got a wonderful New Testament that came from the New King James Version of the New Testament, and it's camouflage. I got that at the Pentagon in the chapel. They were free. And, that's pretty clever. Do I use it? Yeah, often at night I use it. But it's, you may have a lot of Bibles, but Paul's walking along and he's reminding Timothy. This is Paul, this amazing theologian that God used to tie, and this is all by the Spirit. It's not by this amazing theologian, but he just so happened to use this former Pharisee to make connections between the Old Testament and the New. He used this man down in verses 14 and 15. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I want you to see this. As for you, continue in what you've learned, very carefully learned, and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy, you, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. So when you were young, you were learning the Scriptures, and it was being embedded in your mind, in your soul. You didn't even know this great transaction was going to take place. But then I came to town there, and I think it was in the city or the town of Lystra. I came to town, and I shared Christ, and you became a follower because all those Scriptures you'd been building upon had taken hold of, and suddenly you're hearing about this Jesus, and you're going, that's what that Scripture meant. He was bruised for our transgressions. He was broken for me, for my salvation and my iniquities, and the iniquities of the whole world were hung on him. You followed very closely, very carefully. You walked along the road with me from city to city as we brought the gospel to these cities, and you asked questions, and you responded to mine. The questions were about the Scriptures. The questions were about what Jesus said and how he had held me together when the world was trying to take me apart. So you followed. And he lists these nine things. He said, you followed my teaching, my instruction, my doctrine. You know, those details, this teaching, would be the teaching upon which the New Testament would be founded. This teaching would be these truths that your faith would be based upon. It was gathered with the, sometimes we have the wonderful discussions with the interns, and they were at my house the other night, and the question arose, so what's involved in faith? Well, what's involved in faith is, how do you know what to believe? How do you know what to believe? Well, it's in the book. It's in the book. Faith is based upon facts. It's based upon promises. It's based upon history of God at work in the world. It's based upon the truth of how God uses worship, the worship that's in the wisdom literature, in Psalms. How do you know what to believe and trust God for? We sang Scripture today, didn't we? We sang a number of songs that just are lifted right out of Scripture. And we were saying yes and hallelujah and amen to this God who has that for us, so that when we are going through the sometimes the crushing issues of life, we know who we can trust to, trust ourselves to, and who we can turn to. Oh, no, you never let go. You never let go of me. It comes right out of the book of Romans. You never will let go of me. And I can't tear myself away from you. Faith is based upon God says it, and it changed my life. I remember in my own situation, between, I gave my life to Christ when I was 13, but probably between 17, 18, and maybe up to 20 years old, I was afraid that maybe I didn't have enough faith. And it took one of my track buddies to say to me, and we were on the track team in college together, and Ken said to me, we said, faith is not a commodity. It's not a commodity. You can't, it's not how much you have. It's all, can this God that you put your trust in to save you, can he save you? Can he keep his word? I just, oh, He said, it's not up to how hard you hold on. It's, does he keep his word? So when Paul said, he said, you know, you have followed carefully, and I know this from the walks we took together. I know when we were going through the things that we were going through, that you have followed closely after my doctrine. He goes on to say, you followed very closely, and you understand my way of life. A simple little word, but it basically says, you know how I respond in every situation. You know what I value. You know how I conduct myself. You know you know if I'm standing up and I'm being a hypocrite, you're there in the crowd, and you know when that's happening. Who did you follow very closely? Who was it that helped you be confident in God's word? Whose life were you watching very closely as you were navigating life alongside that person? Are you thinking about somebody's name? In your notes, if you've got the notes, you could even right there in the margin, write down the name of the person or the people that were such an encouragement to you along the way. You know my purpose in life. My purpose it wasn't just to preach the word, but that was a gigantic part of his life. He said, I'm interested in taking the gospel to places, this is my purpose, to places where it's never been spoken. This is clearly a part of the missionary gift, isn't it? But he was following the words of Jesus, take this to the ends of the earth. And Paul was always looking to the next place that he wanted to take the gospel. He said that you know about my faith. You know that I'm not just preaching about faith. You know when it seems like things are collapsing around us and people are out to get us. You know the things that I'm saying, even like Dennis was talking about today, in terms of the Lord caring for the things that sometimes we worry about. And he said, no, you know, when I was struggling and maybe worrying, how I had to just say, sorry, Lord, there I go again. I don't know how many times I've talked to people about how the Puritans used to pray with their hands on their thighs. Go ahead, put your hands on your thighs right now. Palms down on your thighs. Just come on, work with me. Well, they would put their hands on their thighs to simply remind themselves to let go of things. Give it to God and then let go. I wonder how many times God has caught me giving something to him, going, here you are, Lord. And as soon as he goes for it, I go like this. Let go of it, palms down. And so this was to remind them, let go of it, palms down. I've been driving to a meeting with someone and found tension going up the back of my head and my jaw starting to set. And because I'm a little bit nervous about this, and I sometimes have to put my hands on top of the steering wheel to remind myself to just let go. And you could feel this just wash off as I'm worried about something that I have no real responsibility for. God doesn't intend for me to carry that. He said, closely followed, you understand this, closely, my patience. Who wants to brag about, he's not bragging about his patience, but you understand, you've seen how I had to be patient with these people that I just talked about in the verses before this. Sometimes you just need to be, you need to be kind to these people who are resisting you. They're in the way. And they're questioning your motives. Be kind to them. Don't get into quarrels. Two different things than from what we see in verse 5 of chapter 3. Have nothing to do with them. My perseverance. And then you've followed closely. And you've seen me in the midst of persecution and sufferings. And he names three places. You know where those three places are? Iconium and Lystra and Antioch. They were shaking this past Monday. Those areas were shaking. You saw me get dragged out of Antioch. And the people, after they beat me, they dragged me out to the gates of the city, and they left me for dead. You were right alongside. You saw that happen. The same thing with Iconium and your town, the town you came from, Lystra. In every one of those places, remember? So you saw these things, things that you've been privileged to be able to see happen as you've been right alongside of me, paying really careful attention and maybe wondering how you would handle the same thing. I asked a question before. Let me ask it again. Who have you been following carefully? Maybe when you were young or in the middle years of your life. Who have you been walking alongside of? And maybe the two of you have helped each other understand God's will and his ways together. Who do you get into conversations with about God's word? So you're asking questions. And they're posing questions to you. Not to be a smart aleck. Not to catch you in a trap. They're just asking questions. How can we I know these seem like simple words, but how does this work in your life? How do I go about following carefully? One of the questions in your notes is, who was your Paul that you listened to very carefully as you were growing in the Lord? Who was your Timothy? The person that you've kind of taken under your wing to help them. But just also, don't limit this to you're one or the other. We navigate our way through life. Seriously navigate our way through life. And it's people that we're studying. We're studying what's going on in them. I was so thankful and privileged to be able to go visit on a few occasions in the last couple years to visit Mrs. Pat Murphy. Always knowing I'm in the presence of a saint. And there are other saints here. The people that aren't that much older than me. But to listen to somebody whose perspective on life, as she has very little strength anymore, she has very little voice anymore, she's not getting out and about and driving her car anymore, but she's learning. I was thinking about friends that have had strokes. Well, just a stroke kind of does something to a person's mind and heart. as questions surge through the believer's mind. So am I going to be so limited for the rest of my life? Is this limitation permanent? Something happens with the soul thinking, I don't like to feel worthless, Lord. You've used me for so many years. Am I on the shelf right now? And I've been blessed to have, let's just call it what I believe it is, mentors who help me understand all the way to the end. This is not it. It's not over. We were supposed to have a men's breakfast. So I came up here for the men's breakfast that didn't happen. There were only three of us that were here, and it didn't happen because of the event last night. And so on my way home, and I'm just a little bit frustrated, I turned on, Leon, you'll be happy to know this, the Bluegrass Channel. And I heard a song, Leon, and I thought it really kind of ministered to my soul. It said, nobody's upset when they hear grandma praying loudly in her sleep. Do you know that song? Have you heard it? Yeah, I probably butchered the song, but there's grandma. She's praying out loud in the middle of her sleep. And nobody wants to interrupt that because of who this grandma is, who knows and loves the Lord. And there's a transaction of the soul. There's a transaction of the soul. You know, I'm having nightmares and kicking. Man, what do I have on my soul that's got me in this place right now? We have people in our lives, folks, that God has us on this path. And closely, closely, we need to be listening and learning and asking questions. Discipleship is for life. As long as we have breath, it is for life. Because we've got a lot to learn, that the Lord uses people in all walks of life from whom we can learn as we're growing in Christ. Carry on in your discipleship. Carry on in following closely after this Lord who has claimed you for his own. Follow closely and keep it up, Paul says. As for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know, you've been there. And it started to lay hold of your soul. Continue in this. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the people, so many dear saints in my life that have been a true example of what it means to walk with you. Thanks for those that have been patient with me and helped me understand your word more clearly in ways I never could imagine. Thanks, Lord, for the people who've asked the questions that you use to bore into my my heart and my mind and soul. And Father, I thank you for the people that are before me right now, knowing that some of these things that I've experienced, they've experienced as well. Thank you, Father, for being patient with us. And I pray that we would continue to grow and take and let our souls be lifted heavenward by songs and by testimonies of your greatness, by reminders in your word for every person that's turned my attention and our attention to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Thank you for the power of the gospel that changes lives. And I pray you would use us, each one, as a conduit of your truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.